Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Monday, April 24th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hey, yeah, think about that, didn't you, for a minute?
No, I didn't. I was just taking a breath, you know.
Well, the years go by so fast. I was talking to Jim one day about updating our wireless service in the office here. He said we'd probably get done by the end of 2024, and my mind went like, that's 10 years from now. I mean, wait a minute, that's just next year. I mean,
yeah, 10 years?
I know, how fast time goes by. I lose track, gee. Yeah. So how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I truly am.
Yes.
So I know you got a lot to talk about as far as medals go. So tell us how good gold and silver done today.
I do? Okay. Let's do it. Gold today, whole 380. 1988 was still off the high. 1991 still trading up there around that 2000 level. And I think we're just going to see a little bit of this until the old Fed comes out and says whether or not he's going to do a rate increase and blah, 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 blah. The story goes on. Silver is up 5 pennies, though, at $25.22. Platinum was down 39 at 1,095. Palladium was down 76, 1,606. The USDX today was a little weaker, 0.37 at 101.36. Crude oil was up 90 cents at 78.77. Paper markets today, they struggled a little bit, but, the Dow rebounded up 66 points. The S&P was up 3. The NASDAQ was down 35 points at 12,037. European markets were negative, although minor, no big deal. Asia, Nikkei was higher, but, it was just barely any movement in any of the markets. 10-year yield, 3.50, that's down a little bit. And let's take a peek at natural gas, was up almost 1.5% at 2.264. So, I don't know, Butch, the same old, same old. We got store closings, we got Bed Bath & Beyond closing, we've got Deloitte to cut 1,200 jobs in the U.S. That's 1.5%.
That's amazing. But Melody, things are improving.
Yeah, how about that? The unemployment rate stays the same or goes lower.
It's amazing how that works. I mean, I wish I could do math like they do math, because used to be when I was younger, right answers counted.
I know. I got another. You got Lyft. You know, they're the ride hailing company. They're going to significantly cut jobs in another round of layoffs, about 1,200.
Yep, that's got my report here too. There's so much happening so fast in the job market, but it's not to the good side. I haven't seen anybody hiring 10,000 people. I see 10,000 being laid off, though.
It's this amazing. Is true. It is. It is amazing.
I just can't wait to see what Biden has in store for us next. With everything getting so good, I can't hardly stand it.
I know. it's everything is, you know, tech earnings are coming out. We've got some economic data coming out. So things have just been, we saw the dollar edge a little bit lower. And that's actually on track for the second straight monthly loss. We did have record gold prices in India. they have soared to the highest ever. So it might put a little bit of, you know, hit on the outlook for some of the consumers because it's going so high over there. So that was, so purchases were improved. So they're, you know, they're doing a lot of gold buying over there, but a shakeup at Fox.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
That's interesting. I saw that.
Did you see that?
I did.
Fox News fired Tucker. How about that?
That's kind of a shocker, too. I didn't think that was going to happen, but it did.
Well, Tucker Carlson, you know, he used to work for CNN and so forth. I don't know why he left there. I don't know. Maybe they feel, although there might be other ones coming, though, too. I don't think he was the only one that was, you know, that can be blamed for, you know, saying that the election was a hoax and, you know, so forth. And, you know, or the, you know, with Dominion and so forth. So I don't think he's the only one. So I don't know if he's just a scapegoat. I don't know if he'll be the scapegoat for everybody else or what's going on. So, but he was fired. So
for what there was on Fox, he was one of the best. Yeah, I mean, he was one of the best in my mind on Fox that Fox had.
I would almost have to. I mean, he's a little quirky, you know, and that's what I was gonna say next, and so are you, and so am I, and so is a lot of people. But they're talking about other things, you know, that, you know, the Fox News producers discrimination. I guess that's something else. So I don't know. We'll just have to see if anything else comes out. I do think he had some of the better ones. I mean, you got Sean Hannity. He's a has-been. Angle. I mean, they all talk about the same thing. They just go from one to another. That Waters guy, he's got some good stuff on every now and then, but I think he's more entertainment than news. But did you see Don Lemon? He got fired at CNN, too.
I saw that, too. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
You have to wonder what's going on with all the shakeup here. Carson had on from time to time, I thought some very interesting and informative guests, more than a lot of them. So I really don't know what happened, what could have happened with this whole bunch. Something's different. Something's changing up. I don't know what it is.
Well, I don't know. He very few people get an interview with Elon Musk.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening, but just kind of it is kind of strange. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Just doesn't all of a sudden all these shakeups going on. There's something behind this. There has to be something. It's not just something. Well, we decided to change personnel. I don't think it works that way.
No.
So I really don't know what's going on here.
So kind of interesting.
It is.
And of course, all the Democrats. Oh, I'm so glad he's gone. You can't be lying about, you know, January 6th and all this. You know, he's just they just lie. It's like, well, isn't they all lie?
Yes,
majority
they do.
Of them.
Yes,
but
they
you
do.
Can only always garner some truth out of it, too. You know, and that's what people ought to be asking. You know, are these were they really lies? Or how much truth is in there? You know, I saw 60 Minutes did a thing last night on that. Is it Epps? Is it the Epps guy? I can't think of his first name.
that
on January 6th. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
What's his first name?
I don't remember that. Go ahead. I'll think I'm thinking. Go ahead.
But you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
You know, he was supposed to be the instigator on January 6th, and everybody thinks that he's a... And I'm sorry, you know, that he was a plant, an insider plant to get everything stirred up and everything like that. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it kind of makes you wonder. And I think the 60 Minutes thing... But the thing of it is, where's the proof that he is... Is there proof that he was a plant to get things stirred up and everything like that? But even the interview, when I watched the interview with 60 Minutes, I don't think they succeeded in saying that he wasn't a plant either. You know, you can deny it all you want, but... When you look at the videos of what he was saying in the very beginning, and then all of a sudden he just takes off and leaves, he's the one. He was the helper in getting everything all stirred up. So to say that he's innocent, But what happened to him? Absolutely nothing. You know, and supposedly he's getting a lot of death threats. That shouldn't happen. You know, people shouldn't get death threats, but. So, and it was kind of interesting, but I don't think 60 Minutes and the Epps guy proved their point that he wasn't a part of it. So, but we have to have proof to show that he was.
Yeah, that probably will start coming up for a long time in the future, just like the 9/11 is coming out to the so-called pilots that were known by the CIA. I mean, this comes out how many years later? 22 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't know the Kennedy assassination. They still release all news on that, and Trump would not release it. That's the one who's in charge of it. Well, he wouldn't do it. So how many times have there been cover-ups and lies? And when will we learn you can't trust what they're saying? Period.
I know.
I mean, Agreed. We have been lied to so much, Melody, that you would think after a while we start to figure this out that we just can't put any credence what these people are telling us on the regular news channels. Or what the government's saying anytime. Right now they're saying how the economy is looking good. Well, if it's looking good, why are they raising interest rates? And what's inflation not slowing down? I mean, if it's doing so well, then what's the problem here?
And why are people living paycheck to paycheck?
Exactly. And some of them not living in it at all. Some of them are moving out of their home, moving in campers. I mean, if it's doing so picking well, why are people living in their cars and in tents? I mean, come on, folks. We shouldn't be that... willfully ignorant. That's all I can say, willfully. We are willfully ignorant to believe these lies. Maybe they can fool us two or three times, but after years and years of it, we have to figure out they can't help but lie. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've known a couple of liars in my life who were habitual liars, Melody, and it took me a while to catch on there, because I'm naive enough to think everybody's telling me the truth. I tell the truth, and I think everybody's telling me the truth. I've been ripped off a few times believing that. After a while, though, I figured out I can't trust these people. I just get away from them. Why don't we understand that we can't trust these people, these people in charge of the news and politicians? We can't trust them. So why don't we just move out of there and forget and get the truth somewhere else, because they're going to find it there. But it's our own fault to keep believing it. Anything ABC says is gospel.
And MSNBC, that's the Democrats' baby station. They love it.
Yeah, they do. So I don't want to say about that. It's down to it's their own fault for believing these things. That's all I can say. I mean, some people just don't seem to have enough gumption and want to get up and move away from it. They just want to go along, get along.
Yep, absolutely.
That's what happens. But, you know, the economy, we've talked about some of that and some of the layoffs. I'll get that in a minute. But I'm just going to do a highlight here on this article entitled Five Economic Disasters We Were Warned About in Advance That Are Happening Right Now. Our leaders were able to successfully kick the can down the road for a long time. But how many of our long-term problems are becoming short-term problems? And the economic outlook for the remainder of 2023 is extremely bleak. But none of the economic hardships that we are experiencing at this moment should shock any of us. The truth is that we were warned about all these things well ahead of time. Many independent voices have been warning us that there would be severe consequences for the exceedingly foolish economic decisions that their leaders were making and how those severe consequences are starting to play out right in front of our eyes. The following five economic disasters we were warned about in advance that are happening right now. I didn't copy the whole article. I just hit the main points. Number one, we were warned that a great commercial real estate crisis would be coming, and now it is here. In fact, we just witnessed another massive default. Number two, we were warned that there would be widespread layoffs as economic conditions in the United States deteriorated. Sadly, that is now happening all around us. For example, on Monday, accounting firm Ernst & Young now say they'll be laying off thousands of highly paid workers. And this was all part of the plan during the COVID scam-demic. They knew businesses would go down. They knew this would happen. They knew they'd destroy their workforce. People don't want to go back to work now. They're working from home. They don't want to change that. They knew they would ruin the real estate market, the commercial real estate market, because people, they don't have offices to go to. Why need to rent the buildings? They knew this. Don't tell me these people planning this didn't know this. From the World Economic Forum right on down to local politicians, they knew this. Number three, we were warned that the large corporate debt bubble in the history of the world would eventually burst. Now corporations are beginning to default on their debts at a rate that should deeply alarm all of us. Number four, we were warned that we would witness a dramatic surge in bankruptcy in 2023, and that's precisely what's happening. Number five, we are warned that the rest of the world would eventually start rejecting the U.S. dollar, and now de-dollarization is happening at a stunning pace. So all five of those points, folks, I know for a fact, Melody's talked about on this program in the past. I knew it. I know it. She has. And now we're seeing all this come to pass. So how many more warning signs, how many more things do you have to see before you realize we're not idiots? We're telling you the truth. Mel just mentioned Bed Bath & Beyond filed for bankruptcy protection after a failed turnaround efforts. Bed Bath & Beyond, folks, was a big, big corporation. Bed Bath & Beyond on Sunday filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection after it failed in several last-ditch efforts to raise enough money to keep the company alive. The beleaguered home goods retailer has been warning of potential bankruptcy since early January when it issued a going concern notice that we may not have the cash to cover expenses after a dismal holiday season. Shares of the company closed at 29 cents Friday, giving a market value of $136.9 million. The stock is down about 88% this year. Last April, it was trading for $20 a share. Now it's down to 29 cents. The company's 360 namesake stores and 120 Bye Bye Babies location remain open for the time being as it begins to close the business and liquidate assets. But it's filed a motion in New Jersey bankruptcy court asking permission to auction the two brands. The company said in a release it has already committed to closing all the Harmon face value stores. As of late November, Bed Bath & Beyond had about $4.4 billion in assets and $5.2 billion in debts, court filings show, alongside a long list of creditors, including vendors like Pinterest, Gehrig, and Blue Yonder. It owes the most to BNY Mellon at $1.18 billion, the documents show. It has between 25,001 50,000 total creditors and employees, about 14,000 non-decisional workers, court filings say. That's huge. And if they don't get if those companies, the Bye Bye Baby and the other store mentioned, don't find a buyer, they'll be going out too. Melanie, that's big. I mean, that is big. They've been in business since the 70s, maybe. They've been a long time. And Marcia loved those stores. We were about 3 hours north of us in Morgantown. She loved going into Bed Bath & Beyond. I didn't like going in there, but she liked it. So that's big. That's big. And I hear music.
I hear music, and we'll be right back. We're heading into a break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And the next Fed meeting is May 2nd and 3rd is the next meeting. So, but you had asked that.
Yeah, I did. It makes you wonder what's going to happen next. I mean, I'm curious.
I mean, everybody's expecting, some are expecting that, it's the same thing. Oh, maybe they'll keep interest rates unchanged or maybe they'll increase it or maybe. They already know,
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But again, we're talking about the break about layoffs, and we're talking about tech companies. You said, they can find work with their occupations and what they do. I'm sure they can. But again, we're talking about, here, Bed Bath & Beyond, and you mentioned you went to a store, wasn't hardly anybody there working at all. But over the last, they've been in business for, 50 years, I'm guessing, somewhere in that area. And they used to have a lot of employees. And you mentioned Lyft, and Lyft's going to cut another 1,200 jobs. Yeah. And it said ride-sharing service Lyft have reported it's set to cut at least 1,200 more jobs in an attempt to reduce costs. This move, which is a company's second round of layoffs, could impact 30% or more of its 4,000-plus employees. The people familiar with Lyft Incorporated plans told the Wall Street Journal that the company is trying to slice 50% of its cost, and that's the decision to cut jobs, which reportedly does not include its drivers, was supposed to be announced after a board meeting next week. Lyft's new CEO, David Reiser, reportedly told staff, "We need to bring our costs down to deliver affordable rides, compelling earnings for drivers, and profitable growth," adding that those things require us to reduce our size and restructure how we were organized. I own this decision. I understand that comes at enormous cost. Lyft stock has fallen close to 70% over the last 12 months, while shares of competitor Uber has declined 4% over the same period. The move to cut back on jobs comes after the company that shed about 700 people late last year, having considered cutting even more employees than that. So, yeah, okay, these guys, the technical whizzes, I'm sure can find something somewhere because they're in demand. But people, you know, work like Uber and Lyft and Bed Bath & Beyond and Walmart stores are closing. They're not maybe necessarily skilled in all these things that are demanded right now. Where do they go to work? They go to work manufacturing hamburgers, you know, at two different restaurants to keep the bills paid. I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense that the job rate is low. I mean, it's so low as they say it is. And the economy is doing this well. Believe me, Melody, I know I'm talking about the finances of people who are getting tighter and tighter. And these people are still working, and they're making what they did, or they're retired, still making the same as they did last year, but it's getting harder to make ends meet every month.
Yeah, and you know what? But people get absorbed, and they get it, they get used to it, and they adjust, and, you know, so they can just go, you know, people do what you have to do. It's always those things from left field that shock people. So if it's night, you know, it's like the old frog in the hot water, you know. You know, people are, you know, they adjust, they change, they adapt, they do this, they do that, and the next thing you know it, then you have the major catastrophic event, and that's what they're not prepared for. And that's when it really takes away. And, you know, people are creatures of habit. Those people, the people who lost money in 2008, even in 2020, they don't remember the money they lost. You know, the markets came back. Maybe they lost some, but it's still back. It's still manageable for them and so forth and whatnot. But what they don't get is one of these days, it isn't going to come back. You know what? I hate that. I hate that phrase. One of these days. Yeah. Seems like we say it all too often, but so did Ralph Cramden.
Yeah,
one of these days, Alice to the moon, or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I remember that. I remember that.
But anyway,
and back to the banking business. And I'm gonna ask you a question. We have to read this. I want your opinion on this. Magnitude of losses and outflows is alarming. Credit Suisse hemorrhages $69 billion in assets. Credit Suisse reported Monday that clients had withdrawn 61.2 billion francs, or 69 billion, in the first quarter, and that outflows were continuing, highlighting the challenge faced by UBS in rescuing its rival in March. The last financial statement at its independent company, Credit Suisse, reported a loss of 1.3 billion Swiss francs, or $1.46 billion, For the first 3 months of the year. It said significant net asset outflows were seen in March. Most asset outflows originated from its wealth management unit and occurred in all regions. The troubled bank said these outflows have moderated, but have not yet reversed as of April 24th. If I'm wrong on this in figures, let me know. SVB had assets was it $121 billion roughly? Did I remember that right?
I think
when they
so.
Went under.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this Credit Suisse has lost $69 billion U.S. dollars. How much of them will have to lose before they're insolvent?
Well, I mean, the central banks and the government shore them up so it doesn't happen. I mean, we had our own FDIC insurance and other companies that'll, you know, invest in them and so forth, so they don't go fully, you know, underwater and so forth and close and whatnot, but so they can manage two. They can manage three. But can they manage seven and eight?
That's the whole point. How far can they go? How long can they go?
Yep. So, you know, so if any more become closer to where and there's more and more people that are saying, hey, you know, we haven't seen it yet. Now they're talking about, you know, the smaller banks. There's a handful of smaller banks. It doesn't matter. You get a couple of smaller banks, that equals a medium-sized bank.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it's and then plus it's the confidence. You know, what happens when even if you had five small banks? Oh, yeah, well, they're just small banks. They're still banks. And if there's five, there could be 10 or 20 or more. So it's the confidence to when people, well, you know, maybe I better take my money out. Maybe we better do this and make some changes and so forth that even adds, you know, more insult to the injury, I guess.
Well, you just have to, they can't go on forever. I mean, the point is they just can't keep going on forever. And sooner or later, it's going to catch up to all of us. I said all of us. We're all going to be hurt if this happens. If banks go down, maybe we don't have a lot of money in the bank, Melody. That still is going to hurt everybody as far as anything we try doing transactions, won't it?
Pardon?
If the banks go out, if they lose the bank, even though maybe you don't have money personally in the bank, it's going to hurt everything else you do in transactions in business anyway, is it not?
Well, sure.
If banks go out, there's nothing to turn back to.
Right.
So anyway, go ahead and finish your point. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but...
Yeah, you did.
I didn't mean to.
No, just, I know that. But no, I mean, so, you know, it's just, and then you add everything else that's going on in this country. And so it's just once that ball starts rolling, once that first domino gets dropped, I think we've seen a couple of dominoes drop already. It's just that it's, you know, it's going around that curve and, you know, it's taking a little bit breather before it continues again. So, you know, it's and, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you saw this article by Politico. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because the headline, nobody knows when it's going to happen. So not only does no one knows when it's going to happen in the banks there, this is Wall Street is waking up to the default threat and it's all connected. So it's interesting that they put out a article about the default, because you and I think are the same theory that, you know, they're not going to let it default and so forth and whatnot. But there's a little bit of concern now in Wall Street. And there is this view in D.C. that the market isn't freaking out enough. And that may be true to an extent. This was a chief political economist at Goldman Sachs. He says, but he's been dealing almost exclusively with this issue in the last few weeks. He says, and there's actually more concern now than even in 2011. It's wow. Just nobody knows when it's going to happen or what to do about it. How Wall Street investors react to a possible default is crucial because they're the ones who finance the country's enormous debt. By buying the securities that Treasury sells to fund the government. If they shy away from the market, interest rates could skyrocket, squeezing the government, businesses, and consumers. So that's why their level of confidence can serve. And again, it's confidence that's going to serve as the strongest force, you know, to drive Washington to make a deal. So it's confidence in everything. When you have a fiat currency, it's confidence. Confidence that gains the whole system. Without that confidence, once you have that little squeeze, and that it happens very, very quickly. But it's interesting, and that was from a Goldman Sachs, that this is all he's been dealing with for the past couple of weeks, is concern about the default. I can't imagine that they would let it default, but Butch, I don't know.
Well, there's still only so much they do, you know, and I saw a cartoon the other day I thought made a lot of sense. If the government can print money, why do we have to pay taxes? Why don't they just fund themselves? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's we're getting ripped every way possible. Now they print all they want of it, but we still have to pay taxes. They increase our inflation by printing money, but we still got to pay taxes. And the higher the inflation, the higher our pay, we pay more taxes. Yeah, there's not much in any way a common man can win, is there?
No, I mean, it can't be done that way because that's not how the system, you know. You know, I said one time, why don't they just give everybody $1 million? Well, now it'd have to be $2 million because of inflation, but why don't they just print $1 million and give it to everybody?
They certainly have done that, but not in a good way. I mean,
yeah, but yeah, exactly. And look where it's gotten. Look where it's gotten everything.
And this generation, Zimbabwe, to introduce gold-backed digital currency. And this is the fact. This is the fact. Zimbabwe will soon introduce a gold-backed digital currency meant to stabilize the local unit from its continued depreciation against the dollar, state-run Sunday Mail reported, citing Central Bank Governor John Magudia. This will allow these holdings, those holding small amounts of Zimbabwe dollars to change their money for digital tokens to store value and hedge against currency volatility, the report said. The token will help ensure that those with low amounts of currency can buy the gold units so that they will leave no one and no place behind. Interesting. A gold-backed digital currency. You know, that might be one of the biggest ways they find to trick us all into going digital, Melody. We're going to give you a gold-backed digital currency, just swapping your paper. And never mind that we'll control everything that you get then. Everything you buy will be tracked and monitored. Never mind that, but you'll get gold-backed digital currency. Interesting. And pretty cunning, too. Would you agree?
Agreed.
So, and that's just, I mean, Zimbabwe, I guess. Well, you go to a point where people are desperate. Even governments get desperate. They get to a point they have no choice made but to follow what they're being pushed into. They have nowhere else to go. So we'll see. And this next bunch of facts I want everybody to digest for a minute. 43%, Melody, of all food stamps are given to illegals. 43%. 95% of warrants issued for murder in Los Angeles are for illegals. 95%. Less than 2% of illegals are picking crops, but 41% are on welfare. More than 66% of all births in California are to illegals on Medi-Cal. 60% of all HUD-occupied properties in the U.S. are illegals. 39% of all California students are illegals. 75% of all Los Angeles most wanted criminals are illegals. 50% of all gang members are illegals. And U.S. taxpayers get to foot the bill for all of these. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you feel blessed that we get to support all these people? We always say, well, they come over, they want to do jobs nobody else will do in America. 2% of them are picking crops. 41% live off us. So where did all these workers go? If this book come over for that reason. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting question, interesting information. And New York mayor, believe it's not, Eric Adams, I mean, a Democrat, liberal Democrat, said New York City is being destroyed by President Joe Biden's migrant crisis during a panel discussion in Washington, D.C. We have a New York mayor said, a very liberal gentleman, man, said that Biden's migrant policy is killing us. Adams was joined on the panel by Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, also Democrat, black lady, Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner, a black gentleman, and outgoing Mayor Lori Lightfoot from Chicago, also black. Adams seemingly took a shot at other New York City officials, accusing them of not fighting hard enough to get the federal resources to the city. And none of my folks came to Washington, D.C. to fight for the resources that are going to undermine every agency in our city, Adams added. Adams' remarks came days after he took aim at Biden, accusing the president of abandoning New York City and calling him one of the largest humanitarian crises that this city's ever experienced. The national government has turned its back on New York City, Adams said. Every service in the city is going to be impacted by the asylum seekers crisis. New York City has spent $817 million to address that migrant crisis between July 2022 and March. Estimates show the city will spend $4.2 billion on costs related to migrant crisis from June 2023 through the end of fiscal year 2024. But he was a sanctuary city. New York's a sanctuary city. What's he griping about, Melody? He got what he wanted.
Yeah, but he's just griping. He wants more money.
Well, I mean,
that's why he's griping.
I don't. I mean, did he think that he take care of him for nothing? I mean, what is this? I mean, yeah, we want him to come here, but we want you to feed him. If New York wants him, that's fine. But don't charge me for him.
Exactly.
I mean, that's where somebody's got to draw the line sooner or later. I mean, I don't want to foot the bill for gangs and people living on welfare and 95% of them in Los Angeles are they're arrested or illegals. We're footing the bill to feed these people. And I don't like that. But nothing been done about it. We're going to discuss a minute, though, what the Ohio Senator, the guy running for Senate in Ohio named Bernie Moreno has in mind to maybe change this, though. We'll see. He's a Republican representative, senator in Ohio. We're going to cover that in a minute.
You know what? I heard a statement earlier today, though, that D.C., when it comes to the budget and everything, only a third of the budget they can vote on because those are the social programs. Everything else is all mandatory payments. So, I know. Isn't that amazing? And I was shocked. I hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And we're back. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. Going into our third and last segment of the program today, and what would you like to talk about next, Butch?
Well, we'll discuss this Republican Ohio Senate candidate, Bernie Moreno.
Yes.
No paychecks for lawmakers until border crisis is solved. I know that's going to fly real well, but anyway, no elected official in Washington, D.C. should receive a paycheck until the border crisis is solved. The Mexican cartel should be designated as terrorist organizations. Republican Ohio U.S. Senate candidate Bernie Moreno said during an appearance on Breitbart News Saturday. Moreno, a Republican candidate whom former President Donald Trump has spoken highly of, briefly detailed his background. Born in South America, Moreno came to South Florida as a child and moved to Cleveland 18 years ago, where he took off in his own auto industry, building over a dozen dealerships and starting a technology company. However, he said he always felt a calling to serve his country. It's easier to say, hey, let's go to the beach in Florida and relax. But the reality is, I know for a fact, actually, this is the only place on earth where I could have accomplished what I did and being able to build what I created here. This is my way of serving the country that gave me that opportunity. And, you know, I feel indebted to the country. And this is my way to serve the public, Moreno said. Now, he also said something else here. An Ohio candidate for U.S. Senator Bernie Moreno has suggested, get ready for this, Melody, that the white descendants of Northern Civil War soldiers should receive some type of reparations. Let me explain that. Yeah, I agree with him. We stand on the shoulders of giants, don't we? We stand on the shoulders of people like John Adams, Jane Madison, Alexander Hamilton, George Washington, that this group of people took on the largest empire in history. They said, no, we will not stand for this, and won. Marino told supporters at the campaign last week. That same group of people later, white people, died to free black people. It's never happened in human history, but it happened here in America. That's not taught in a lot of schools much, is it? Continue Marino, who's looking to challenge U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown. Ohio GOP Senate candidate Bernie Marino proposed reparations for white people. You know, they talk about reparations. Where are the reparations for the people in the North who died to save the lives of black people? They make it sound like America is a racist, broken country. You name a country that did that, the freed slaves, died to do that. You know, they talk about reparations. Where are the reparations for the people in the North who died to save the lives of black people? Hey, I agree. Amen. Well said. I have no complaints about that. Well said. You know, that's all I can say. I just want to comment on that. I think he made a very good point. So there you go. There you go.
I'll have to remember that argument.
Please do. Please do. Yes. And if you can, help get that reparation thing started. I need some money.
Oh, yeah, I know. Hey.
Now, here on our end of the stick, here in West Virginia.
Yeah, but aren't you considered the South?
Well, the West Virginia split from Virginia to fight for the North, but we were a split state. So yes and no. And Webster County, right next to us, was declared himself an independent state. They didn't want to fight for either side, so they were independent state for a little while. A lot of history, a lot of things happening. So I don't know. A lot of folks fought for South in this country, in this area, and some fought for the North. I don't know. But here's something that interesting. I think for at least us. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice plans to launch a Senate campaign next week. Governor Jim Justice will launch his U.S. Senate campaign this week in the Mountain State, according to an invitation first seen by Politico. Justice's long-awaited campaign will launch on Thursday at the event at the Green Bar, his luxury resort in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, according to the invitation. Republican strategist close to Justice confirmed the details in Politico. The announcement also hands the Republicans a well-funded and popular candidate to go up against Senator Joe Manchin, the state's current Democrat senator who has not announced his intentions for 2024. However, Justice will still have to get through a primary, and Representative Alex Mooney has already announced that he would be running for the seat. Justice, who has close ties to former President Donald Trump, enjoys high approval ratings, and has personal wealth. In addition to running statewide and winning a governorship twice, he was reportedly heavily recruited by state Republicans' campaign arm. On the other hand, the Club for Growth has already committed to spending $10 million, if they need to get Mooney elected. Both candidates will be vying for Trump's endorsement. So there you go. Interesting. I don't care much for more. For Justice. Don't care much for the man. I don't know much about Mooney at all, but I'll be looking into him also. So I don't know what to think about that, but I'm just not that crazy about our governor. He's locked the state down during the COVID. He was one of the big leaders in this state to try to. He just kind of broke the state's back a lot of ways. We've done that, and I don't like that. I don't know of any other than Christie in South Dakota. I don't know of any governor. Well, maybe somewhat DeSantis in Florida didn't shut down their state because of COVID, but Justice did. Any comments on Beldy?
No, Justice has some skeletons in his closet also, if I recall.
He does.
Yeah. So I would hardly think that he could beat out Manchin, do you?
I wouldn't think so, although Manchin's losing popularity some in the state.
Yeah, he is.
Manchin's trying to straddle the fence to his own detriment. He's done some things that are totally he backed Biden's Build Back Better plan, wherever it was.
Mm-hmm.
He backed that at the expense of a lot of jobs here in the state because the Biden will shut down all the fossil fuel. Yeah, and coal
and
fields.
Fossils.
Coal is our main line here in the state, period. And it cost 100,000 jobs. So Manchin sort of bit himself in the butt with that one. So I don't know. I mean, I know Manchin personally met with him two or three times. He did do a couple of favors for us as far as what our fight against the Real ID Act here, some of us here, but I don't particularly trust the fellow, to tell you the truth, to be honest with you.
You know, I've been watching some commercials for Ron DeSantis, If he keeps running those types of commercials, there's no way he's going to win. They're kind of cocky. They're kind of, you know, I'm the man. I'm great. I'm wonderful. But they're not. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. It's they're kind of weird commercials, and it doesn't make him sound like a nice guy. And that's who people vote for most of the time, are nice people. You know, they have to like you. And that's so true. I'm not sure what he's doing, but.
Well, you know, maybe he's an ego maniac, just like Trump.
That's how it comes across. I mean, they all are narcissistic to a point, but I mean, nobody beats Trump in that category, but. Yeah, it's just weird. They're not nice commercials. He's, you know.
Well, only time will tell.
Anyway,
and I don't look forward to this up this next year with all this hogwash going on, and knowing in my heart of hearts that it's not going to make a difference anyway. They've already slipped the next president.
Yeah,
and I hate to say that. I don't want to believe that, but I have seen that too many times not to believe it.
Well, Biden's supposed to make his announcement tomorrow.
I know. So, I think they do narrow it down to the two they want. I believe they do have, you know, some narrowing down. They let some things happen. Get down to two people that they can control, no matter who they want then, Republican, Democrat, they're basically controlled anyway. But anyway, moving on to a different topic, and back to the war drums. On Basco Island, south of Taiwan, U.S. military prepares for a conflict with China. Part of the largest ever annual drills with the Philippines force folks on defending strategic Baishi Channel. On a rocky, windswept island just over 100 miles south of Taiwan, U.S. troops from the Marines and Army ran out of MV-22 Osprey aircraft with weapons, including the Javelin and Stinger missiles launchers, before setting up camp next to a field of watermelons. Maybe we're going to throw watermelons, I don't know. On the opposite side of the island, a HIMARS rocket launcher was brought ashore Monday from an amphibious landing craft, a system that could give the U.S. force ability to target ships up to a few hundred miles away. The drills were part of the largest ever annual military exercise between U.S. and Philippines, which this year, for the first time, included a focus on the defense of the northern Philippines in preparation for conflict if China moves to take Taiwan through force. Well, I tell you what, the world's going to be a dangerous place. Mm-hmm. China can't back down on Taiwan. And if the United States wants to save any face at all, they can't back down Taiwan. Russia can't back down Ukraine. Ukraine can't back down on Russia. So it's how are we going to solve this? How are we going to figure it out, stop the bloodshed, Melly, before something blows into something no one wants to think about? Russia cannot now just quit and walk away. They can't do that. If they destroy themselves, who's going to have any faith in them at all? China's getting to the point now of pushing and shoving, so to speak, and boasting. They can't walk away either. When you get two bullies to the point of so much bravado, they can't quit without losing face. Something's got to happen, doesn't it?
You think?
It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. And world military spending rises to record as insecurity swells. Folks, this is. All indications point to world war. I don't want to scare you and try to make you panic, and I'm going to give you all this, but all indications are pointing towards war. And this will not be a conventional war. Global military spending rose to a record last year, spurred by policy U-turn in Europe, where government boosted capabilities by the most since the end of the Cold War in the wake of Russia's all-out invasion of Ukraine. Defense expenditure increased by 3.7% in real terms to reach a record high of $2.24 trillion in 2022, the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute said on Monday. After half the annual increase was due to Ukraine's ballooning military budget, according to data for the Eastern European country that excludes foreign aid. Armed budgets are expanding across Europe in response to Russia's aggression, at the same time as tensions in Eastern Asia are prompting larger allies outlays in that part of the world. The continuous rise in global military expenditure in recent years is a sign that we are living in an increasingly insecure world. States are bolstering military strength in response to a deteriorating security environment, which they do not foresee improving in the near future. Another sign of how the world is sliding back into a situation last seen during the Cold War. Military expenditure in Central and Western European countries exceeded the 1989 level for the first time since then. So, I don't know. It's not looking promising, folks. I mean, everybody's trying to arm up. Now, America's giving their arms away, obviously. Well, I mean, we're behind. We don't have a stockpile as we did have. We are actually having production plants running full tilt 24/7 and still can't keep up with the demand we have for ourselves and for Ukraine. But Melody's got to the point that, literally, talking about Russia especially, they cannot walk away now. If they don't achieve their goal, they've lost everything. That makes them dangerous, doesn't it?
Well, they lost the war in Afghanistan. They walked away after how many years?
Well, we did too.
Yeah.
But that's really a non-starter there. But in Ukraine, which is really part of their country, if they can't get that under situation under control, Afghanistan was, you know, countries away. But Ukraine is right there. If they can't get that under control and put it back where they think it ought to be, I don't know where they're going to turn to find any respect again ever.
And, you know, I heard an interesting comment the other day where they were saying, you know, the reports are there was, 15,000 Ukrainian soldiers killed and 300,000, you know, Russian soldiers killed. And it's like, come on, who believes those numbers?
Right.
If 300, you know, 15... I mean, it doesn't even, you know, the numbers don't compute. And the guy had a point. So what we're getting, the news and everything, or anything that reported other than how much money we're spending on, and that's probably only half of the money that we're spending and sending. Think of the people and the soldiers that are already over there. You know, they kept that secret for a while and so forth. So, yeah, it's you're right. Russia just can't turn around and walk away, and there's no one there trying to negotiate.
No, there's not. No one's even talking about it.
No one's even talking about it.
So that is, again, something that...
Which, to some degree, you know, I'm sure Ukraine doesn't want to give up any of their land either. But on the other hand, you can... Don't you try to negotiate some sort of a... You know, this is what, you know, we deal with instead of killing more people and destroying our towns and so forth, so we can get back to, but nothing.
Well, Ukraine space will never get back to what it once was, not for many, many years, if that much time is left in the world. It can't happen. But apparently, and obviously, the leaders don't care. Those nations don't really care because they're not the ones dying. I've said this many times
That's
before.
Right.
The ones who declare the wars aren't the ones with the gun in their hands in the front lines.
Yep.
So they don't care. And I had no doubt that Zelensky and the whole country, as well as the United States, is crooked as a dog's hind leg. And Zelensky is profiting from this whole mess.
Absolutely, he is. There's no accountability with any of that money going over there.
No, there's not.
So I mean, why else does he go to country to country begging for money?
Somebody's getting rich off of this.
Yep.
But it's not us, the taxpayers, not us. So, folks, this is obviously something that's coming that's not pretty. Melody, go ahead. We have a few seconds.
And we're out of time. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
Thank you, listeners. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.